This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. They go over each vehicle with a fine-tooth comb. That way it makes the buying experience so much easier and better. Terrific service department, whether it's quick lane, inspections, routine, easy, they handle it all, and difficult. They handle it all at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Trying to bring in one of my favorite people, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football, Tim Newton. Tim, how have you been?
Steve, I've been better. But you know, we're still hanging in here.
Yeah, I understand that. It's not easy to broadcast a tough season. There's no question about that. When you look at Ryan Walters and what he's trying to do, where is the program now? Because, I mean, he walked into some tough circumstances with Jeff Brumley leaving. Has he been able to improve certain segments of the program along the way, especially with the younger players?
Yeah, I do think I would say, Steve, they had some success in the portal, although I think that success may be a little bit delayed. You know, a lot of the programs that are using the portal are using it as a one-year stopgap, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, our neighbors down to the south have parlayed that basically into a top five program this year. What Ryan has tried to do is he's tried to go a little bit younger when he's gone into the portal. So instead of getting a one and done guy, he's got guys with 2 and sometimes 3 years of eligibility. And so even though those guys have maybe played somewhere or at least have been at other programs, they're still pretty inexperienced. And we're starting to see some of these guys that are a little bit younger get a little bit better as the season goes on. But, you know, the numbers are the numbers. And as the great philosopher Bill Parcells said, you are what your record says you are. And Purdue's a 1-8 football team, and they're, you know, dead last in a lot of different categories, both offensively and defensively. So while there has been some improvement, there is a long, long, long way to go to get this program back to being respectable.
What makes Maccabee a quality running back, though, Tim?
Steve, I've called him unhinged, and I don't mean that as a negative. When he runs, it looks like his arms and legs are going in all different directions. But he's so elusive. You very rarely see him taken down on the first hit. He'll give you a hip and then take it away, and he's able to do his 360 spins, and he leaps over guys even though he's not a big guy. He's just very, very – he's elusive. I think that's probably the best way to describe him. Although he is capable, we've seen him also run over a couple of guys, but he's fun to watch. Yeah, he's been one of the bright lights of this season. I think every time he gets the ball, you kind of hold your breath a little bit because you don't know what you're going to see on that particular play.
The quarterback play, Hudson Card transfers in from Texas, and then there's Ryan Brown. They're different types of players. How would you describe how Card has played to this point? How would you describe how the team has played when Brown has been in there?
Well, you know, Hudson Card has been, I think he's been on a roller coaster this season. He started the year with the opener against Indiana State. Now, take in mind, Indiana State, not a very good program, or at least not at Big Ten level. He goes 24 for 25 in that game, sets a single-game Purdue record, and looked like he was going to win the Heisman Trophy that day. Then the next game against Notre Dame, he has a hard time getting a pass down the field, and he's under pressure all day. I don't think his receivers have helped him very much this year. I think Purdue's receiving core in general has been very disappointing. And I think that's been a factor why Hudson has not put up bigger numbers than he's gotten. We've seen a lot of plays where he's able to keep a play alive by scrambling in the pocket, and you look down the field and his receivers are just staring back at him. They have not done a good job of finishing plays and coming back to the ball and doing those kinds of things. He has not run the ball very much. I think they would like him to run it a little bit more. He suffered an injury last year, and I think he may have come into the season a little bit gun-shy. But he's a tough kid, and we saw him a couple of weeks ago against Northwestern get hit underneath the chin and split his chin open, and they just brought him over, bandaged him up, and put him back out on the field. Ryan Brown's a little bit different, not quite the passer that Hudson Card is, probably a little bit better runner than Hudson is. Ryan's a freshman, but he's 21 years old. He had gone to a prep school, and so he's and he redshirted last year as a true freshman. So he's got some experience to him, but I think you have to put an asterisk by the quarterback play this year because really they haven't had a whole lot of help from the receivers, and the offensive line has not protected as well as we would have thought they would do this year.
Yeah, I think we're going to see two of the better tight ends in the conference. Now, look, this will be because I see him every day. I think Tyler Warren's the best tight end in the country, personal opinion. But Max looks like he's played really well for you guys at tight end.
He might be Purdue's best player. Max Clair has done a great job this year.
Yep.
He gets open. Now, obviously, he is because the receivers have struggled this year to get open. Max gets a lot of attention. He's double covered and sometimes triple covered.
Yeah.
But he's really been a great relief valve, a good reliable guy that you can throw the ball to on third down. And I would assume, we're in an era, Steve, when your players are your players for that season. But who knows after that? I can tell you, I believe he's drawing interest from other programs. I'll just put it that way. And I think Purdue would be very fortunate if they can keep Max here for another couple of years, because I think he's certainly got the ability to play on Sundays.
Yeah, that's when I look at the tape, that's what I see. I think I see a guy that can play on Sundays. Is Ryan calling the offensive plays?
Yes. That started, they fired Graham Harrell after game four. And then there was one game where Ryan did not call the plays because he didn't have all the necessary terminology that you needed to call it that first week. But since then, he has been calling the plays. Yeah, he has basically handed the defense over to Kevin Kane, his defensive coordinator, and Ryan is calling the plays from the field every Saturday.
Because Ryan, we all know it's a defensive background. He'd been the defensive coordinator at Illinois. Now, you have to scheme for offenses. I understand that. How surprised was everybody there that he'd be the play caller based on his background?
Well, yeah, you're right. Surprising is the word. Ryan's trying to be a troubleshooter here. He's trying to fix the problems that Purdue has, and he thought, and he said afterward, I thought the best opportunity for us to get the offense going in the right direction was if I called the plays. Because I know as a defensive coordinator what causes me problems, and I think I have a pretty good pulse of what makes our offense tick, so I'm just going to go ahead and do that myself. Now, part of the other equation there, Steve, is that there really wasn't anybody else on the offensive staff that had play calling experience before.
Right.
It wasn't a guy that maybe you had another offensive coordinator that was in waiting or whatever, so a part of this was and frankly, the offense under Graham was just a mess. Let's be honest about it. I've said before, you can be vanilla in your offense, but you can be Häagen-Dazs vanilla, or you can be grocery store variety vanilla. And Purdue was more of the latter. Just wasn't very imaginative the first four games this year. And Ryan decided it was time to make a change. And I do think Purdue's gotten a little bit more creative with what they're doing in terms of personnel groupings, and they've run some more trick plays, but a long way to go to be competitive against a really, really tough schedule.
Yeah, both teams do have a safety that leads their team in tackles, now, but Jalen Reed plays so often near the line of scrimmage, it makes more sense. For you, though, Dylan's a terrific player. What makes him special at that safety spot?
I think he's got great vision. His two older brothers played football here, both came here as walk-ons. And so he's been in a football family his entire life, and he understands what it takes. And I think he's probably been watching game film since he was a little kid. But he really understands the game, and I think he anticipates very well. Now, I will say, Steve, I don't think he's played as well this year as he did last year. I thought he was phenomenal as a freshman. He's been good this year, but I would say, I don't know, maybe taking a little bit of a step back, but we're seeing him miss a lot more tackles, being out of position a little bit more than we would expect Dylan to be. And again, that's just an endemic of a defense that's right now ranked 18th in the conference in a lot of categories. He's had to try to cover a lot of holes, and I think sometimes Dylan tries to do too much. And it's understandable, but again, I don't think he's had quite the season he had as a true freshman.
So is it just an issue at all three levels where he has to attempt to cover up for somebody else's mistake or out of position? Is it a three-level thing, or is it more one level that's hurting more than others?
Well, I think if you were to look at the position on the team that's probably the weakest, it's the linebacker spot. And you all know at Penn State, linebackers are pretty important. You know, they're pretty key to your defense. And frankly, Purdue's linebacker play has been really poor this year. The defensive line has held up in some games, although the one thing that Purdue's had a really difficult time doing all season long is setting the edge. We see team after team able to turn the corner, whether it's on a jet sweep or a misdirection play, or the one that's really hurt them is a running back or tight end coming out of the backfield and kind of going against the grain. But again, the linebacker play has just really been subpar. And I think Dylan, again, has tried to move around the field. They've moved him. In last year, every play, he was like 25 or 30 yards off the line of scrimmage. Now you'll see him move around more defensively, where sometimes you'll see him up in the slot covering somebody, or you'll see him closer to the line of scrimmage. And they're just trying to get him a little bit closer to the action to, again, try to correct some of the deficiencies this defense has.
Yet there have been some games, Northwestern, right there, Illinois, right there. What happened in those games where Purdue was right there, even though they couldn't quite get over the hump?
Well, there were kind of a tale of two games, and you're right. I mean, instead of 1-7, you win those two overtime games, you're 3-5, and even though that's not a great season, it's a whole lot different than 1-7. I guess we're 1-8 now. 1-8. They all blend together after a while.
I understand.
You know, you go back to those two games. The Illinois game, Purdue's down 27-3 early in the third quarter and just looks horrible. And all of a sudden, Ryan Brown, who was playing that day because Card was out with a concussion, something clicked. And somehow an offense that barely has been able to get out of its way for a lot of the season scores 40 points in one half.
Yeah.
Actually took a 43-40 lead with less than a minute to play, although as we remarked at the time, I think they left 40 or 50 seconds. I said, that's too much time. And sure enough, Illinois came down, kicked the field goal to tie the game. They scored in overtime, kicked the point, and then when Purdue scored its overtime touchdown, they decided to go for two and didn't make it. So that was a wild shootout, but the offense in that last 30 minutes of that game was phenomenal. The Northwestern game, Purdue again got off to a slow start, which has really been one of the big problems here. Purdue's only scored 10 points in the first quarter of all nine games combined, and seven of those came in the season opener against Indiana State. But Purdue gets down 17-3 to Northwestern, battles back, ties the game. They've got the ball with 2 minutes left for a chance to go down and have a game-winning drive and take a sack on first down, and never really got on track. Then they go on offense first in overtime and don't score. Ryan decides not to try a field goal on 4th and 6 because right now they don't have a whole lot of confidence in their freshman kicker. And Northwestern made a stop, and then two plays later they're in the end zone and celebrating. So kind of different games, but both games that Purdue certainly could have won, and you walked out of thinking probably should have won. But again, they just couldn't finish down the stretch.
How the fans reacted? Because the last time out, now for basketball, it's always everybody's, you know, you need a shoehorn to get everybody into Mackey. Last time I was there was the blackout game on opening night, where I thought Purdue played a terrific game, and then Penn State was able to win at the end. The crowd was awesome that night. How the fans reacted to this?
Honestly, that has been the biggest surprise, and I would say the biggest positive surprise of this season. The fans have been unbelievable. Purdue has 6 home games this year. We've sold 3 of the 6 out, came very close on the other 2 And the last time I checked, we only have something like 2,000 tickets left for Saturday's game. And they have really shown out. I mean, sometimes you wonder, you get those games in November, if the fans are actually going to come. But that Northwestern game that we played here a couple of weeks ago, you might have had five or six rows in the student section that were still unfilled. But the rest of the stadium was packed. And it really has been amazing. I think part of that is there's still a little bit of a leftover effect from not being able to see football during the COVID season. You know, there was a lot of pent-up demand for people to get out, and we've kind of ridden those coattails for a while. I think the other thing that you mentioned, the basketball team, I think there's a lot of glow that still emanates from the basketball program, and people are excited about Purdue sports, and they want to see the football team succeed. Even though they've been disappointed in their trips to Ross Aid this year, they're still coming out, and I'll be curious to see on Saturday. Again, we've got a lot of tickets sold, but we'll see how many people actually show up and how many are wearing black and gold and how many are wearing blue and white.
What kind of improvements? Last time I was there was for basketball last winter, and it looked to me like there were some certain things at Ross Aid that looked like they did a lot, they did some work on it. What's improved there for the fans?
Yeah, you'll see a whole different thing than you saw the last time, because they've closed in the south end zone, which used to be, we used to call it the party deck, but it was basically just an open area. They've closed it off, and that's actually where the students are now. The students are in that end zone and then wrapping around on the east side of the stadium up to about the 20 or 30-yard line. And the students stand in the south end zone. I'm glad I'm not a student anymore, because I don't think I could stand 3 or 4 hours at this point. But So that has closed everything off, and it gives the stadium a little bit different feel. They've got the huge scoreboard, which I think was there the last time that you guys were here, if I remember right.
Yes.
I think that change in the south end zone has kind of changed the dynamic of the stadium. And even though Purdue only seats 60 or 61,000, it gets pretty loud in there. As you saw on that nighttime game that we had, which was a great game, coming right down to the stretch. It can get loud. I don't know again how loud it'll be on Saturday, but it's been a great home field advantage this year. Surprisingly, as it is with Purdue struggling on the field.
How have the fans treated Ryan Walters to this point?
Well, I think the worm has turned a little bit. I think they were very supportive in year one, but I don't think anybody bargained for a 1-8 team. And there were chants during the one of the last basketball games that you could hear the audible "Fire Walters" chants, which is really, I think, unfortunate, especially when that emanates from your student section. I think people are losing their patience a little bit right now, and I think it's going to be an interesting off season. There's a lot of speculation about what the athletic director is going to do here. Mike Bobinski's. I'm sure he's had a lot of meetings with Ryan about what to do going forward. And, assuming that Ryan is back for year three, I think there will be a lot of staff changes and the understanding that you can't continue to do things the way that we're doing it now, because whatever it is, it's not working. So I think the patience, at least the external patience, is wearing thin. Now, how things are being received in the athletic department, we're not in the habit of eating a lot of coaching money here, especially when you've got a lot of money coming up with the house settlement that you're going to have to be paying your student athletes. But it's going to be an interesting offseason, and I think there will be a lot of changes one way or another. I don't think they'll come in with the same staff and the same roster in 2025 that they've got in 2024.
What's the viewpoint of Penn State coming into town based on people you've talked with?
Well, it's Penn State. I mean, Penn State's really good. Your only loss is to Ohio State, which there's no shame in that. There is the perception, and I'm sure you've heard it, Steve, that Penn State is really good, but not good enough to be the top team or second best team in the conference. And I think until you can win the games like the Ohio State game, that perception, at least externally, and at least in our area, is going to stay the same. But having said all that, Penn State's really good, and we know that this, you start going down that roster, and that's a really good football team that's coming in here Saturday. So I think people understand, that we're four touchdown underdogs this week, and it's not the worst we've been, but I think that line is probably a pretty fair line, and Purdue's going to have to do something to try to change perception here the last three games of the season.
Tim, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for your time today. Can't wait to see you on Saturday, my friend.
We're going to have a beautiful day for you, Steve. I think the weather looks like it's going to be great. And so hopefully we'll have a nice fall day to celebrate.
Absolutely. Tim, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
The outstanding Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of Purdue football. Great to have him with us on the show today. That's one thing we've had. Talked about weather. Starting with the Illinois game. Every single game, the weather has been spectacular, whether it's here or on the road. It's been incredible. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is going to make this a November to remember. Sunbury Motors Hyundai received 10 truckloads of new Hyundais, and we need to make room now. Choose from over 55 brand new Hyundai Tucson's with savings over $6,500. Sunbury Motors has the full-size SUV Hyundai Santa Fe discounted up to an unbelievable $6,197 off. Both the Tucson and Santa Fe have financing as low as 0% for 48 months and 1.99% for 60 months. Remember, all new Hyundais come with America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000-mile powertrain. If you want to have a fun day, why not buy a Santa Cruz Hyundai? This nimble pickup starts at $31,340. The Santa Cruz is discounted up to $49,50 with 23 available. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is going to save you the most money all year now. 10 truckloads of new Hyundais will make this month a November to remember with your next Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.